the right money might sit in your lap. Back to back, I can't even keep track. It's the fact that freaks need to get slapped. Stop my toes and need a back rub. Yeah, I don't come to do it, I just wanna be touched. Look at how y'all making me blush. I'm enough to go around, so people don't push. Wanna run that tush in the bush. Don't my diamonds look real good? And they shine so hard that it glitters. So many carrots, they look like critters. And we can do it all night. Take a flashlight to see up in my windpipe. Highlight the key, so can get hype. I wanna know, can you hear me, my mic? From it's where you at, and if you can't a freak a leak, better bring your ass. Fucking East Coast, West Coast, down south, represent your coast.
Yeah, we run it.
Freaks at the bar,
where the hard drinks are,
don't start.
You want beef, don't take it that far with a superstar. I got my foot on the clutch, see me bounce my butt. This a mean too much, and I don't give a
run this.
It don't matter where you're from, it's where you're at. And if you can't a freak a leak, better bring your hat.
We run this.
Represent your coast and act like you know how to act for yourself, your 2 feet in the dough.
You're way too beautiful, girl. That's why it'll never work. You have me suicidal. When you say it's over, damn all these beautiful girls. They only wanna do you dirt. They'll have you suicidal. Park used to chill after dark. Ooh, when you took my heart, that's when we fell apart. Cause we both thought that love lasts forever. They say we're too young to get ourselves sprung. Ooh, we didn't care, we made it very clear. And they also said that we couldn't last together. See, it's very divine, you're one of a kind, but you mash up my mind, you are figure declined, oh Lord, my baby, you're driving me crazy, you're way too beautiful, girl, that's why it'll never work, you have me suicidal, when you say it's over.
Studio W Sports page. We about to get everything on the crack. But before that, just to get us up and get crunk a little bit, let me give y'all a little bit of that Coach Prime.
Okay. Ah! Oh.
Everyone, it is the Studio W Sports page brought to you by J&J Sports Apparel. I am your host, your man Mill, and always riding shotgun with me is my guys, Mr. Kevin Harris to my left and to my right, Mr. Romar Smith. We got some special guests in the background. I got my baby in the background along with WB. What's good, Dad?
Hey.
How you doing, Sonya?
Hey.
Oh, yes. And to everyone out there, happy Valentine's Day. And also all those other couple on Monday holidays. And before I pass the mic to my guys, I want to send some thoughts. I'm tired of doing this, but I got to send my thoughts and prayers out to the families affected at the tragedy at the parade for the Kansas City Chiefs. I heard now they got two juveniles in custody behind that. Very disgusting. I hate talking about it. Because it goes back to the same old scenario. And really, my thoughts and prayers go out to these families affected. I'm sick of it. Every time somebody wins a championship nowadays, there's a mass shooting at the parade. We can't even celebrate our team's victory. We can't celebrate nothing no more. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. I'm not that into politics, but also it just seems like it's the same old cycle. SOS, same old sh.
But my thing is, why it ain't happened last year?
It's been happening ever since the Chiefs last year. Every championship game, there was a shooting that the Rangers won. It was a shooting at the Nuggets when they won. Wow. And on NHL, who won the NHL? It was one there too.
I think it's a pattern.
All of them have had it.
These people just trying to be famous for doing something stupid. They just trying to, it seems like they're trying to be famous for doing something stupid.
How, Sway? I don't get it. Yo, Kevin.
Yeah, man.
Help me make sense.
Yeah, it's just sad how, you know, there's all that one numbskull, if I should put it that way, who wants to get their 15 seconds of fame. Yeah. Yeah.
What race were these juveniles?
That I'm not sure, but whatever it was, they got tackled to the ground. But you know, like I said, man, it's just ridiculous. Like, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm coming home from work and I'm reading through the phone and next thing you know, I'm thinking like, breaking news, you know, multiple people. And the thing behind it is what makes it even more painful to hear that the person who got killed was a popular KC radio DJ. So prayers and condolences go out to the entire family of KC behind all of this, you know. It's just crazy how all this unfolded, you know. Nobody know, I mean, what was the motive behind it? Like, what were you trying to gain out of this whole situation? You know, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So, I don't even know what to, you know, there's a lot more questions than answers is what we're sitting here dealing with now.
Now, going back to gun laws, it just seems like the same old circle. Try your mic now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for it to be two juveniles, I just think their mindset was to be famous. It just seemed like they might have just seen, they could have just sat at home and watched the Columbine movie and say, okay, now we're going to do this.
What are they trying to gain?
I mean, I don't know. You know, it's sad. My thoughts and prayers go out to the people that were injured and to the family of the person that was lost. But, I mean, to a certain degree, you almost expect it because you wait. For me, I'm just, I, to, to a certain degree, I was waiting for the first wow factor of 24. What was going to happen that's going to be...
So is it to the point now that any time...
You expect it.
That's what I'm saying. Because no matter who wins in what sport, something bad is going... It's some sort of foolishness is going to go down at a parade 3 days or so after that said team wins.
I mean, it's almost to the point that what's going to happen?
Like, we just waiting for it.
They're going to start the team that win. They're going to sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
For you to come into the stadium or the arena and celebrate with them. Instead of it's going to be in all through the streets of the city and everything like that. They're gonna start holding them in the stadium. And you're going to have to get tickets. And you're going to have to go through metal detectors and get pat down.
That might be the next course of action. I mean, think of it this way, because, you know.
I mean, it's almost to say that might be the safest route.
Now, you know what? The crazy thing about it is, Omar, somebody out there is going to listen to your idea and going to run away with
it. Makes sense.
Right. But I'm saying, when somebody else comes up with that same one, and then the first thing we hear about, I said, Romar said this on the show.
I mean, you previously. Know, stadiums, NFL stadiums don't hold no more, what, capacity-wise, no more than 50, 60,000 people.
Right.
Okay. You get 60,000 people that's going to be in the stadium, put the stage right in the middle of the field at the 50. And then you televise the rest of it. And everybody's happy. Everybody's safe. Everybody wins.
And you can make money off it if you wanted to.
Exactly, because then, you know what I'm saying, you can make it when you, from you winning, you invite performers.
Maybe.
All that.
So now you think it's like it's a marketing ploy.
It could be.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, if you play your cards right.
Why not?
I can't. Exactly.
I mean, you know.
I'm going to tell you what. It's
the NFL, didn't the NFL play their cards right just because of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
Yes, they did. We're going to get into that next. Since we're on the subject of Super Bowl. But that's insane. Because no matter which way you turn, because we started off this subject just knowing there was really a mass shoot. We ain't got no names yet. We don't have no they're not identifying the shooters. We just know it was a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not because they putting it out there. That's just word of mouth getting out. Because when you have someone that's a local celebrity like that, you know, something happens to them. The streets are going to talk.
But you know, and the crazy thing is,
and we have figured out
it could have been any one of the players.
It took us 7 minutes to figure the root of all this. 7 minutes.
It could have been one of the players that could have been shot or injured in that Wednesday.
Yeah. But it was all accounted for, so.
But to keep everybody safe, that's the only thing that I see that's,
yeah, I mean,
that's responsible to at least eliminate that from happening to a degree. Because sooner or later, we already know that now they got plastic guns. Or you can make your own gun and you can beat the metal detector.
Yeah.
Mm. But you eliminate that factor to a real big standpoint.
Yeah, understood that. So guys, I wanna transition back to, I wanna keep it at football. I wanna talk about, give you guys thoughts and perspectives on this past year's Super Bowl itself. Shout out to the Chiefs. Oh, let me say it. Shout out to the Chiefs. We all, but this one, this is my biggest takeaway. I'm gonna circle back around, but I just want to put this out there.
Mm-hmm.
That Super Bowl was so predictable. I don't want to hear nobody else talk about wrestling. Go ahead.
Well, for me, it started off with me, like, the way I expected it, it was going to be back and forth early. It took a minute for everything to go down, but the first thing that I seen that I started to unravel, and I knew that maybe Kansas City was going to win this thing. This is the one thing that happened last year. Christian McCaffrey doesn't fumble the ball. What happened last year? Jalen Hurts doesn't fumble the ball.
We had opportunities. I'm with you. There was opportunities there.
Yeah. And it was almost, it was predictable. Shanahan goes away from what was working.
Right. I'll go on that later.
And to me, the unheralded hero of the Super Bowl for the Chiefs, and me and Mia have been talking about it.
Say his name.
The one person that needed to catch the ball started catching the ball again.
Right.
Mr. Kelce.
It wasn't about the numbers. It was the possessions.
Pacheco didn't get off the way that I thought he should have. But the chunks of yards that he was getting took the pressure off of Patrick Mahomes and the pass off and the receivers. And another thing that Patrick Mahomes was doing that he wasn't doing, he was finding his receivers in them pockets. In them set down routes. They use a lot of set down routes for their receivers. And that Greenlaw freak injury was really the turning point of the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And Chris Jones introduced us to the world to what we know as Brock Purdy. Running instead. Like, Trent Williams supposed to be the best offensive lineman in the NFL. He got dragged in the Super Bowl.
He did. Cal?
Well, I will say, start out, that for some people to say it was boring in the beginning because nobody scored, the turnover started, you know, slowly unraveling. So we're waiting to see who was going to flake first. But anywho, what happened was, we've seen this scenario before in which a Kyle Shanahan team starts out in the lead. The weird thing about it was the halftime score was 10-3, which was Taylor's favorite number also. Taylor's favorite number is 13, believe it or not.
Yeah, 13. Okay.
So the score was 10-3 at halftime. Don't ask me how I knew that. But anyway, they actually held Kelce.
You're a Swiftie.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah. So Kelce was held to, what, one catch in the whole first half? Like, and then you had, like, and then the one takeaway everybody was talking about more than the Super Bowl itself was Kelce got into a heated discussion with the coach. Now, think about it this way. People have been saying
was it really a heated discussion? Because the way I seen it, good old Andy Reid, like, brush it off. It's like, you don't want this. You do not want this problem over here.
But you know, the funny thing about it is, had this happened to anybody else.
But he did it in Baltimore again. He did the same thing.
Had this happened to another receiver, I won't mention names, but Mill knows exactly who I'm talking about. Their ass would have been kicked out.
No.
His ass would have got benched the rest of the game.
You should have saw what Dan Campbell had to say about it.
Oh, I did.
I thought that was more egregious. I thought that's where he was going, to be honest with you. But go ahead.
But no, but again, I caught wind of that too. But that's something you can throw that in the air and say, had this happened to anybody else that's not as popular as Kelsey, the outcome would not have been the same at all. Oh no, you riding the bench the rest of the game.
And it's crazy, you know, it's crazy that it was so much attention
on
the focus of just who he's dating and who she is and all that. Outside of that, I don't think a lot of people realize this was a down year for him. Production wise, was absolutely a very bad year for him.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He had more drops than usual. He didn't even get 1,000 yards.
He dropped at least 4 touchdowns. At least 4 touchdowns on the year. Yeah, 4 touchdowns.
Okay, and then the one thing that also helped him, Travis Kelce yaks yards after the catch, even though there wasn't a lot of yards after the catches in the Super Bowl for him. But those yards out of, you know what I'm saying, them extra yards helped the offense. And for the most part, Kansas City offensive line did what it did last year. It pretty much kept them clean. Yeah, and I was agreeing with what one of the commentators was saying. You want Patrick Mahomes to run wide. And Nick Bosa, man, his intelligence is out of this world. Because they wanted to run. They ran a lot on his side when it was time for Patrick Mahomes to run. He started thinking wide and coming back inside and getting to Patrick Mahomes.
And you know what's crazy? Let me help you out here. You know what's crazy about that? Because one of the last play of the game, that wasn't to Bosa's side. That was to the other side. So that was perfectly designed play that the Kansas City Chiefs have now used to win two Super Bowl.
And that's the crazy thing. No,
they used the same play they did last year.
I'm talking about when it was a broken play.
Yeah.
Or the rush, get the Mahomes. They were saying, you don't want to keep him from escaping the pocket. You want him to run wide. You don't want him to run in between the numbers. And that's the thing with a lot of defenses and their DNs. They run wide trying to get to him. So they give him that step-up pocket to either run or to make one of his magical plays.
All right, but understand. I want y'all to understand something. That play that they ran.
I know. I said it's the same play that they won the Super Bowl last year.
That's how you beat that play. It's not so much the defensive backs that got to make that read and cover that area. How you beat that play is the defensive end on that side has to run wide, not come crashing down making an angle at the quarterback.
He didn't run. He passed all the wide receiver did was
now, but
take
listen,
two steps like and just cut back out.
Listen, Listen, when you forced, what you want to do, you want to drag that tackle out so you're in that passing lane. So now, instead of just a quick pitch and catch to the wide receiver, now either Pat Mahomes has to run if he has pressure, or he has to throw over that block, which buys that D-back time to make a play on that ball.
But the way that play is covered up and designed and look and work,
you gotta make, you gotta recognize.
So, I'm gonna tell you why.
You gotta recognize the route. The route gives it up.
The formation is the problem, because they're lined up as a running play.
Yeah.
And once the ball height, you know what I'm saying? The ball is height basically while the wide receiver is still running down the line. You're thinking that because he's running down the line 9 times out of 10, and most times he's blocking. He's going to block. They just leak him out. He hesitates to block and leaks out.
Yeah, the first two times, but by that third or fourth time.
But it takes the cornerback. It takes the corner or the safety down in to the box, because you see him running down the line. So there's in the linebacker, cornerback, and safety head, they all gonna crash. Now he leaks out, because y'all already been committed. Wide open. Simple play.
Mm-hmm. That's why the audible is to the run out of that, because once you put that person in motion, now you want to make sure it's either man or zone. If it's a man, okay, we running that ball. But if it's a zone, that's when you want to run it, because now instead of we have one person following, you got to trust your secondary to make last second adjustments, because they about to snap the ball.
But like you said, when the receiver's in motion, 9 times out of 10 on the goal line like that, you thinking run.
Yeah.
Because you thinking that wide receiver that's in motion is going to crash to give up an extra block for that hold that the running back going to probably do.
Yeah, but even still, if that defensive end just pushes the tackle wide, he blows the play up.
But he got to stay with the receiver that's in motion.
Not the defensive end. I'm talking about the defensive end on the line. He pushes the tackle back, he blows the play up regardless.
But they line him up wide.
All he has to do is push the tackle up. All he had to do is push the tackle upfield instead of trying to pursue the quarterback. Yeah,
but the thing is, why it works so good? Because the DN lines up wide.
All he has to do is run straight. He runs at an angle. He takes the wrong angle on that play.
All you have to do is bring the DN back in with the defensive line and make your defensive line tight for that coverage. Instead of lining your defensive end 2-3 feet away from the defensive tackle.
Put it like this.
Because when you line them up wide down there on the goal line,
we kind of saying the same thing.
The linebacker has to crash, fill the void right there.
We kind of saying the same thing, because the reason why I say they won't run to Bosa's side is because that's what Bosa did. You go back and look at that film. We ain't got it up here right now. But you go back and look at that film, that's exactly what Bosa did. He came wide and forced that tackle to go back. So, because if they ran it the other way, or if he'd have completed that route, the route would have been altered already, because Bosa would have been right there. Right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right. But like the big play, the big run play that he had, Patrick Mahomes had, that's when Bosa started using his knowledge. Because he went wide. It gave Patrick Mahomes a clear lane to get all those yards for that first down. So what he started doing when he was wide, he'll take his steps, go wide, but he plant, come back inside. Now he was closing Patrick Mahomes' running lane and making him either have to throw the ball or just take the sack.
You know he ain't taking no sack.
Yeah, he got sack.
He got sacked one time.
He ain't tried. Oh, yeah. That's that.
And, but the funny thing was, yeah, there was actually a Chase Young sighting.
I mean,
it's been a Chase Young sighting ever since he's been in San Francisco.
But
he's been a spark to them.
But, now, here's your problem.
They already said that they might, they're, oh, no.
He was taking plays off.
When that? Yesterday? Drizelle.
Hall of Fame basketball coach Lefty Truesdale has passed away at the age of 92.
Oh, he died today.
786 wins and 41 seasons at four schools, including Maryland.
Yeah, wow. It's sad breaking news here on Studio W.
Oh, man. He was one of my favorite coaches, too. And he was one of, and he was my, was he the coach of that Maryland team? No. No, he wasn't the coach of that Maryland
team. Talking about Juan Dixon. That one
and Lonnie Baxter.
Yeah. I don't think he was there.
He coached,
we had to start.
He coached in the CAA too. He coached George Mason and one of them. He was in that ACC with Valvano and them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I remember.
He had Lynn Bias. I think that was his coach.
Yeah.
He had Lenny.
He had some greats, man. So rest in peace to Lefty Drizelle. Basketball is, but back to this game.
I don't know. We're not
gonna let this defense off the hook though.
I mean, both defenses played great ball to me.
But it was not worth Steve Wilkes.
No, it wasn't.
They fired the wrong coach.
Yeah, I agree. First of all, I seen that post. Yes, they did.
They fired the wrong coach. And my thing is this, though, because I hate to say this, but the same cycle again, same old ish, right? The black man is always going to be the scapegoat.
But no, I'm going to tell you what's the problem. Truly tell you what the problem is with Kyle Shanahan.
He's a terrible liar.
You gonna use a press conference to throw him under the bus.
Listen. Outside of that, how many Super Bowls did his daddy go to before he won a Super Bowl as a head coach? Remember, he had to take Mike Shanahan.
He lost about what, four?
He won them two in Denver.
Wasn't he there with
Elway? Yeah, but think about it. Him, Cap, Mike Shanahan, and Andy Reid were both on what dynasty's coaching staff with what coach?
Mike Holmgren.
No. Steve Walsh, San Francisco 49ers with Montana, Jerry Rice, and Roger Craig. They both were there.
Andy Reid was there?
Yes. Yes.
We're talking about Kyle now.
But Mike was the offensive coordinator. But Andy Reid come from under that coaching tree too.
I don't remember that. I gotta look at that.
Yeah, we gotta fact check this one.
But he trying to be his daddy.
And it ain't working.
Yeah, he was. Nah, San Francisco State.
So, okay. As much as we clown about...
No, he was not there.
It was Mike Holmgren then.
Yeah, he was under Mike... I knew Andy Reid was under Mike Holmgren. No,
I'm saying Mike Holmgren was there. He had something to do. It was a lot of these coaches come from under that Steve Walsh job too.
Mike Holmgren might have came from
came
from Steve Walsh. We can go that far, but I know I was like, hold on, I don't remember.
Andy Reid might come from the Holmgren. Andy Reid might come from the Holmgren.
He did, yeah, he did.
So I can stand to be corrected, but I don't know Shanahan.
And this leads to
I'll put it like this: Terrible head coach, but great offensive coordinator.
Great offensive mind.
Yeah. Okay.
Mind. He has revolutionized the offense to be quarterback friendly. He just like don't, almost like, any quarterback.
He don't. I don't know what it is about him when it comes to him in Super Bowls.
He's garbage
when he takes his foot off the pedal with the run game.
He goes away from what works. Now shout out to my brother Andre Brown. Hope you listen, bro. I love you. He's a diehard Niners fan. And I told him, had y'all to play the Kansas City Chiefs the same way, the same intensity.
That they played y'all?
Exactly. They would have mollywopped the Chiefs. There's no way you're going to sit up here and tell me that those were the same two San Francisco 49er teams.
No, no. But I can say this.
Because they stomped on that throat.
Hey.
Now, but here's what I also get. That's the same one that ran through our division.
Yeah. Hey, but you know what's so crazy though?
Ran through the table.
The crazy thing is, I just noticed something about what Kansas City defensive coordinator was doing the whole night in the Super Bowl. Brock Purdy. You're going to have to beat me with your arm and legs.
Yep, you took away every weapon. Everything was contested. We don't know when the 49ers are making plays, they won't open.
Hey, the cornerback from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Snead or both of them balled out.
Let me tell you.
They just got better.
All I'm going to say is this.
Snead and McDuffie.
All I'm going to say
both
is this.
Both of them balled out.
They're getting their bags this year. They're going to get their bag.
All right. Coming to the Studio W Sports page, my man, we got the boxing guru, Mr. Mark Daniels. Yo, Mark.
Morning. Hey, what's going on? Good morning, fellas. What's happening?
I missed you, Mark. I missed you, my brother. I missed you, bro. Hey, we sitting up here chopping it up about the Super Bowl and everything, so go on ahead, give us your... Give us your spiel on it, bro. Give us your spiel on it.
Well, you know, starting off, I said, man, this is going to be boring.
But, I said that 10 minutes ago. Go ahead.
But as time went on, you know, and things started picking up, I think it came down to, once again, Andy Reid out coaching another opponent. I didn't understand why you went away from what was working. Running the ball. I know this over, McCaffrey had it 30 times. He'd have had it 50 if it was up to me. I mean, you got to keep doing what works, man. And, you know, Kansas City, I always, you know, my thought was on that. I told a friend that we bet I had taken Kansas City by 3. Patrick Mahomes in that overtime, he basically said, you know what, I'm putting this on my back. They're going to have to get me. You know, he's a bad brother, man. There's no way around it. I think, you know, you have players that stepped up that you didn't expect to step up. And San Francisco just collapsed. I mean, some of the luck sucked. My man, all he doing is getting a run back out on the field, tearing Achilles tendon. People didn't show up. I was wondering what happened with George Kittle. He gets so much praise. Debo didn't do his thing. I'm starting to believe that, and I hate to say this, with a guy like Debo, he hasn't really earned his money since he signed that new deal. He stays in the tent. And Kyle Shanahan is totally collapsed. I mean, totally collapsed, and he wants to blame the loss on the defensive coordinator. I don't know how you do that. You know, I'm starting to wonder if there's a curse on Steve Wilks. I mean, he gets a job that never lasts no more than a year. And wherever he goes, he makes a difference. You know, great halftime show. I love the way the game ended. Some players got redemption. Nicole Hartman, he had fumbled. Valdez Scantling for the drops he got earlier in the year. I mean, just all around, I just think, after watching this game, it made me realize, I mean, I've always had this thought, but it made me realize even more that teams that's going to go through this trying to win that Super Bowl, they're going to have to go through Kansas City, and they're going to have to do it again next year. Because this brother Mahomes, he's a different animal.
All right, so what do you think about Steve Wilkes getting let go?
Scapegoat. But you know something on Tater Creek, no, when Kansas City start making their moves during that game, a couple times they showed him the sideline. I don't like to make big things out of, you know, something big out of nothing. He, to me, if you watch him on the sideline, he never looked comfortable. At one point during the season, he used to be in the booth. They made him come down to the, it was like he was being degraded from the beginning. They made him come down on the field. I mean, the team gave up, how many points they give up? 19? But yet you did a horrible job. I mean, how is that possible? You lose one of your star defensive players.
That was as the he difference.
When he was, he was running Jerry run back out on the field.
Yeah, and that was the difference because he was locking up Kelsey at the time.
Frustrating, still.
Yes, he was frustrating Kelsey a lot.
And you know, I think, you know, some of the things I looked at in that game, you know, this was Steve Wilkes. This has happened to him in Arizona. This has happened to him in Carolina. But I think he was a part of that lawsuit with my man from Miami, Flores.
Yeah.
Indicating about racism and et cetera, et cetera.
He was. Yeah.
I forgot all about that.
I'm starting to wonder if this brother, they got to keep giving him jobs.
Yeah, but he's
going to be blackballed for the rest of his career.
But you know, it's funny. Speaking of which, I'm glad you mentioned that part as far as the timing of it was also like kind of suspect because here's the thing. If you also notice that all the jobs were taken, the defensive coordinator jobs, you're going to fire him on during Black History Month of all things, and all the coaching spots were taken. So you left Wilkes out. Yeah, you left Wilkes out to dry.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, to their defense, I guess you couldn't fire this dude during a playoff run.
Right.
So you know you fire him immediately after the Super Bowl. And so in my opinion, win, lose or draw, they planned on getting rid of this brother regardless.
Yeah, and honestly, cost him a chance to get a job anywhere else because, like Kevin said, basically all positions are filled except for one. One quarterback position is still open in the NFL right now.
And which one was that?
You know something? This is
the job that Eric Bieniemy probably about to take in Cincinnati and be their offensive coordinator.
No, matter of fact, because I thought somebody else got that spot yesterday.
I think Eric Bieniemy, believe it or not, think some way somehow he's going to end up back in Kansas City.
I've been saying that too.
They said during the 2 weeks leading to the Super Bowl, he actually was flown in and worked with Andy Reid.
Yeah, they came and worked with the players. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl week.
Oh, he back.
So
he back.
He's coming back. You know.
He back.
Andy Reid asked him to come back and work with the players.
But the only difference is, I'm going to be honest with you. Mahomes gets the MVP. I'm fine with that. He did a hell of a drive coming. But to me, the MVP of that game was Chris Jones the other defensive lineman named Pinnell.
Me and Romar said the same thing. The real MVP was Chris Jones.
Because this dude disrupted everything.
Yeah, I've never seen one man on a defense. If you look at it, truly, Chris Jones should have been defensive player of the year. He was on a defensive line with a team full of nobodies, but it was him and his actions all year long that disrupted everybody's offense that they played against.
Well, you know, there was that number 69, Pinnell, that was playing in that game. And then this brother was playing. And I have to give credit to the defensive backs.
Hey.
I'll be honest. I never thought much of Kansas City's defense, you know, to a point because it wasn't wild, you know, they didn't get the hype, you know, different things.
But, Mark, they finished in the top five.
Yeah, but after looking at this defense, man, their defensive backs their defensive backs are amazing, bro. And
hold on. The one thing you know about Kansas City, it ain't the defensive line. It ain't the D-backs. Kansas City love linebackers, and they got aggressive linebackers.
Well, you know, also the missed extra point didn't help.
Nope.
Yeah, that was Steve Wilkes' fault.
You decide that you want to receive the ball in overtime instead of seeing what Kansas City is going to do.
That's all Steve Wilkes right there.
Oh, but the weird thing was that the players didn't know what the overtime rules was. That was another
I was going to bring that up. How do you not know?
I think that those are lies because the referee, when halftime started, and I definitely paid attention to these rules because the commentator said that they have new rules for overtime in the Super Bowl. He explained the rules to both teams before he flipped the coin. And he looked at both teams. Captains, do you understand these rules?
Mm-hmm.
They both said yes.
But
I heard it loud and clear, like most of America. If one team scores a touchdown or a field goal, the other teams get a chance to go down and do the same. If they don't, game over.
Say something, Mark.
It was just they were looking for any reason to come up with, you know,
to make sure
was looking for every scapegoat possible.
He's dealing with the ghost of his daddy, too, because of the way that they treated Robert Griffin in Washington.
You know something? This dude blew a 28-3 lead in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Not all on him, but offensively, horrible play call. He blows another Super Bowl shot, a couple years ago.
Oh, against the same team.
So, at what point, and I mean, he's a good coach. I'm not taking that away from him. But when do you take responsibility for the shortcomings of your team? You know, I mean,
Dallas?
If this was a black coach, period,
exactly.
They would say he's incompetent, he doesn't know how to manage a game.
Oh, he got fired the same night.
I mean, it would be over. You know, I also saw comments from A.J. Brown. Indicating when Travis Kelce went up on Andy Reid.
Told you.
He said, if that would have been me, I'd have been out the league.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. As great a player as Travis is, and man, that was concerning because this is the second time I've seen this cat do this that I know of.
Yeah, and he knows the thing that's concerning is he knows he's in the only place where he's going to get away with it.
I mean, because that's the only place, look.
That's the only place he knows he's going to get away.
I watched the documentary, The Kelce Jump. He, like, from seeing this behavior and watching it, the documentary, he in the only place that wanted him.
Well, his brother.
His brother saved his life. His brother begged the coach at Cincinnati to keep him on the team.
Well, he was off the chain like that.
What? He gave a dirty urine for weed. When they was ready to go play in a bowl game.
Oh,
like, they kicked him off the team for a year. His brother went to the coach of the college, of Cincinnati. Give him a check. Give him another chance. He had to prove himself to get back on the field, to be back part of the team and everything. Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs had already knew that Travis Kelce was their man going into that draft that he got drafted in. Mm-hmm. The only reason that he failed is because everything that they was, the intel that they was getting back on this guy. Great athlete. Shitty person. My bad.
Oh.
With bad attitude.
I did not know that about Travis Kelce.
Yeah, like,
but honestly, it was crazy. You kind of made that slip up because I was listening to Asante Samuel yesterday on ESPN Radio, and he was just letting the S word fly, bro.
My bad. No, but he's not the only one. Pat McAfee do the same thing on his show.
But you know, it's just like. But Andy Reid understands Travis.
Yeah.
So if we look at it as that is something that, no, Andy Reid knew how to deal, already knew how to deal with that person and that situation. So I ain't look at it as, oh, he in trouble. No. You push Andy and what Andy did.
You gotta remember, he went off.
Take your helmet off, go sit on the bench.
He took off, he went off a little while back. Yeah. And when he threw his helmet, and he went to get, you know, the trainer went to give it back. Andy Reid said, no, sit over there for a minute.
Yeah, that's the thing, cause see, from look, like I said, from looking at the documentary, Andy Reid took in every call from everybody when it came down to Travis Kelce.
We want to transition a little bit. We still on the Super Bowl. We still got a little bit left. I want to get my fiance's insider. Sonya.
Yes, baby.
How did you like that halftime show?
Like every other woman in the U.S. loved it. I'm sorry, baby. I still love you, but Usher.
Uh-oh. Well.
And Ludacris.
Man. I wanted to know what was wrong with his outfit that he came out there in, because he had me confused.
No.
You might have been the only one confused on that one.
No. Hey.
It wasn't my favorite. The first outfit was not my favorite.
Hey, that gave me a lot of questions. The first outfit I'm talking about, like, with, yeah, buddy.
You can't hit with every outfit, but at least he changed into better outfits later on, unlike old boy with the church suit on and the
Don't you do that to JD.
Back on the play. Legal procedure. We cannot break Usher through the code about his outfit and let JD slide.
Yeah, he can.
Ain't no brother out here wearing pearls on their ankles, bro.
Well, look,
it's not happening.
It's not happening.
No
pearls and ruffles
and
on their ankles.
And if you tell me you have JD's outfit,
he might have.
They went to the same Diddy party, bro. I ain't trying to hear.
Oh boy. Well, I don't know that they attended, but you know a little bit more than I know. But I just don't know. I understand because
and didn't they have ruffles on it too?
He shouldn't have put on the outfit. Period. Because you are too short and too fat. Yeah, I almost thought it was you, brother.
Wow.
I know. It's like that. You think I would wear something like that?
I mean, look, when I looked up and seen who it was, I was like, hold on.
You think I would wear something like that?
I know somebody that short and pudgy. And you came to mind at the time.
Hey, you know what, though? Are you breaking milk to the coals now?
No, I'm just saying, like, Because I didn't, I wasn't really paying attention to the halftime show like that. But when I looked up and they was doing the JD Purdue, and I seen his outfit, I was like, oh. I wasn't even looking at the outfit. I was like, he looked like me.
So how much were you drinking?
A lot.
Yeah.
I was wondering how much. Not how much. We're not going to do that when you need to measure. No. What were you drinking?
No, we're not going to do that either.
Tequila. No, we got to go in there. We got to know what
time that, for that list.
Tequila. Oh. That's all I was drinking. I was drinking tequila.
He don't do a whole lot of mixing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
He don't do a whole lot of mixing. It's literally just one thing, and he just going in on that. Once he gets into the rhythm of that drink, it's
over.
Yeah. I was drinking tequila.
He was drinking tequila. Okay. What kind of tequila?
The Lulazoo.
Oh, the Luna Zoo.
The Looney.
And that explains it.
Looney. All right.
It's called Looney. Uh-huh.
Luna Zoo.
Hence that, right? $5
What?
Luna Zoo.
Oh, he is disrespectful.
I'm not into drinking tequila, so
but
I don't
he did look like Lloyd, though, too.
I would have said more like me, but Lloyd's lost a little bit. Lloyd lost a little bit of weight, so I'd have been the pudgy one
but I don't think that you would have did that. Them Jones was way
from the waist down was enough.
Yeah,
the waist down was enough.
I mean, I'd have seen people with the pants that show the ankles,
the
but
whole,
that, he was like,
was no, he huh? had ruffles.
Hey, you can't talk to the one guy that dated Janet Jackson for a long time.
Yes, we can.
You can't.
Because y'all talk about Chico DeMarge.
Well, he's strange.
Okay, and what is JD right now?
Chico ain't not, JD ain't never been that strange.
Chico wore ruffles too.
The ruffles and the pilgrim shoes.
No.
They were penny loafers. And they had nickels in them.
And it was still enough. nothing distracts y'all from the fact that JD's outfit is a no.
Cause I'm like you said. We're going to be dealing with each other for a very long time.
See.
I'm going to go ahead and get my eyes on the way now.
Uh-huh.
If Usher's first outfit wasn't no JD's second out. JD's outfit was no.
No, we can't say what I
want to
say. Never mind.
Hold on.
If Usher's outfit is a no, then just add extra words in front of it for JD's outfit.
Well, let's get off that.
So which outfit was worse?
Let's talk about Miss Alicia Keys off key at the beginning of her song.
Wait a minute. Because I thought about that too until I heard about it.
She had to clear that puff out her lungs.
No. When was the last time you saw her perform anywhere? Technically, she is considered as a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, yeah. So
that was nerves. That's why Usher
went. You think it was not nerves?
It was nerves.
No, but I have to admit, she missed that first note.
Yeah, she did.
Even she has.
She sounded like she smoked it like 4 or 5 Newports.
The bigger takeaway was not just really the singing, it's the way Usher had it was all over her.
Come on, man. That is part of his show.
Hey,
look, Super Bowl in Vegas, and it worked out. And see, that's the thing that y'all don't look at. He had a residency for the last year or two in Vegas.
Right.
Super Bowl in Vegas.
Of course.
And he ended it, his residency ended a week before the Super Bowl.
Again, like I said, my first comments about the Super Bowl, it is so predictable, I don't want to hear nobody talk about wrestling.
So look, and then like you posted, Kev, a day after, he went on tour. But what you don't know is, at 12 o'clock that night of the Super Bowl, he dropped the album.
No, we know that.
We knew that.
The album and everything.
So he dropped the album before the Super Bowl.
Then dropped one after.
Then got married.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
He got married
to that longtime girlfriend.
Who, the one that...
Beyonce dropped her album after.
What, the country? Yes. The country.
Yeah, Beyonce country dropped album. Hers
yeah.
right after the halftime show. Not even after the Super Bowl. She dropped it right after halftime show.
That's what AK Michelle been beefing with her.
Yes, because of country. Yes.
Wow.
But voice wise, Beyonce came. That's what Kay singing.
No, she can't.
And we are not supporting Romar's decision to say that. Behind, y'all come after him, not the rest of us.
What? You tripping? You tripping, Beyonce. Do not have a stronger voice than Kay Michelle.
We have to come after me.
Well, they can come. I got smoke to kill you.
We're not condoning this on this show.
Right.
The views and opinions of Romar Smith are those solely of Romar Smith.
Yep. I mean, if y'all scared of the Beehive, y'all can be scared of
Page management and or staff.
Y'all scared of the Beehive?
Yes.
I'm not.
Yeah.
That's why we're going to watch the movie The Beekeeper.
No. The Beekeeper on it.
Yeah.
So, yo, Dad, I got some trivia for you guys. Super Bowl trivia. Name the quarterback that threw the most interceptions in a Super Bowl. Hopefully Mark will come back on because I know he got the answer to this one.
That's a lot of quarterbacks that play in the Super Bowl. Quarterback who got the most interceptions in the Super Bowl. John Elway.
Okay, you got John Elway. Everybody got to come up with an answer.
I'm gonna say Brady.
Okay, you got Elway, so you got Brady. Kev,
I'll go with Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon.
Can I switch my answer?
Did you give an answer?
Yeah, no. Dad.
Can I switch my answer? Can I switch my answer?
No, everybody just get one answer.
Come on, man. Let me switch my answer.
Nope.
Can I bet you it's Kurt Warner?
You want Kurt Warner?
Is that your final answer?
Kurt Warner is your final answer.
Nope.
Come on.
I'm going to stick with Elway.
Okay.
So what's the answer?
The correct answer is Rich Gannon. We all saw that Super Bowl. The Raiders versus the Buccaneers.
Oh, you talking about the right. Kim over there looking at
he threw like six interceptions. That's the most interceptions thrown in the Super Bowl. Ooh,
so we can ask any trivia question.
Yes.
Okay. Who has the most sacks in a Super Bowl game as a player?
The most sacks in the Super Bowl as a player. I'm gonna say Willie McGinnis. I know I'm wrong, though.
I don't even have an answer. I just came up with the question.
All right.
It's too many players. And you don't see a lot of sacks in Super Bowls.
I'm going to go with Reggie White.
Trey Flowers.
What's the question?
How many sacks in the Super Bowl as a player?
Who has the most sacks in the Super Bowl game as a player?
Somebody got Reggie White.
Kevin went with Reggie White.
I picked Reggie.
The fake one he had with Brett Favre. The fake snap, sack. Y'all remember that?
I'm going to say Michael Strahan then. Yeah. Mill, you.
I didn't ask that question. You did. You supposed to have an answer to it. How am I going to have that?
All right.
Riddle me that.
Right.
So.
All right. You give up? Or you going to still, oh, he's still looking?
He's looking up for the answer. Oh, Von Miller.
Oh, you done looked it up already?
Yeah.
That's why I ain't looking up.
Because I'm not your secretary. You do your own work.
When you have sisters.
You learn that sisters are right and they'll hush your mouth. Thank you. It's much love.
So Sonya says, know your role and shut your mouth.
Hey, yes I do.
Okay.
But you're the only one that pays. But you're the only one that pays attention. Bah humbug.
Keep our humbug at me. You see what happened. Anyway, no, it was Von Miller. It was 27 sacks by a player in a Super Bowl game.
In a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, just one game. He ain't had no 27 sacks in one game.
Well, that's what this thing said.
No,
State Muse is what I went to.
No.
Oh, sorry. Four players are tied for the most sacks in the Super Bowl with 3 sacks.
All right.
That's Grady Jarrett on February 5th, 2017, Connie Ealy February 7th, 2016, and Darnell Dockett on February 1st, 2009.
Well, we definitely
hold on, but you missed the biggest one. Matter of fact, Miller's actually wearing it right now with 3.
Reggie White,
1997 against.
That was the Green Bay Super Bowl that he won with Brett Favre.
Yep. As I said, see now look, Mill stands for $1 million on this question.
I just got a whole NFL trivia question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have an answer before you ask the question?
Well, I know this. Okay. This cat.
Now he looks it up.
Yeah.
No, I ain't even looking it up. I ain't looking it up.
He's trying to memorize it from your last one.
All right. So who got the longest interception return for a touchdown in Super Bowl history?
Oh.
Devin Hester?
Who?
Devin Hester?
No.
Harrison.
James Harrison got the longest interception return.
Interception. I thought you said kick return.
Interception. Oh, I had to look that one up. That was too easy.
Yeah, we had to look that one up.
Okay. During Whitney Houston's iconic national anthem,
Bobby,
what political world event also happened?
Oh, Desert Storm. We went to war.
During what?
Super.
Now, what was the verse that started it all?
Oh, I don't know the verse. I just know that we went to war with Saddam. And now we went to war with Saddam. And
this talk about being dramatic.
I'm just saying.
This is actually kind of funny. Talking about being dramatic. The war began with the Rockets' red glare.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That was the line the trigger did on.
Yeah, that was the line.
Oh. Not even being funny, but I heard that, the whole national anthem thing. The whole, that's just one part of the song.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's the most racist part of the song. No, from what I heard.
No, they cut out the most racist.
That
was the next verse.
Okay.
That was the next verse. It's like three bars. It's like three
stanzas.
Yeah, three stanzas.
So everybody think Reba one. Did. I think Reba did quite well.
Reba is gold. That I love her as a country music artist and as an actress.
Yeah, she did good.
She was excellent. But I'm
sorry to say
national anthem
The national anthem that I'm still stuck on is my girl Jasmine Sullivan Jones.
Oh, yes. Oh,
she put like she X. almost put me back into the Whitney Super Bowl joint. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, Jasmine was fire that night. And then what she come up with, I can't say the name of the album.
No.
Old Tales.
Jasmine Sullivan is a great singer. I've been listening to her for years, so she is.
I love her voice. All
right, I got one for you. Which artist has performed more than once at the Super Bowl?
Beyonce.
Well, Tim. We know it ain't Janet.
There's more. There's a couple of them.
Yeah, it's
because you get because I know Nelly performed twice. Luda's performed twice.
Mm-hmm. I should have probably did it twice. He might not have been the halftime act, but he probably would have been there before.
Well, give me somebody like that. All
right. I got Gloria Estefan.
What?
One of several artists to perform on a big show. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake.
He needs to. Justin Timberlake. He needs not to ever be part of another.
Now, she performed in 92,
he destroyed
95, and 99.
Oh, yeah. Well, she a drummer. All
right, so I got one. We got Mark back on here before we transition to basketball. Super Bowl III.
Oh, your daddy should remember that one.
Uh-oh. Nah, Dad, I'm going to stump Dad on this one, too.
He should remember Super Bowl III. You know the famous one where
Broadway Joe called his shot? Saying he was going to win Super Bowl III?
Yeah. See?
Who started for the Baltimore Colts in that game?
Johnny Knowles. Oh, yeah, tell him. Yep, I know he was watching on the black and white TV.
Yeah, on TV, yeah.
For the rich folk.
It won't black screen.
Who was the quarterback?
I don't remember. But it won't count you.
His name probably was Brady Hardshell.
Who was it, Mark? Hey, Mark.
And the second one would have been Earl Morrow. I mean, the starting quarterback was Earl Morrow, I believe.
Yes, it was Earl Morrow.
Oh, I thought his name was Brady Hardshell.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Earl Morrow. Because I always like to bring that up because, you know, my never ending argument that Nick.
Well, you know, he really should have been the starting quarterback for the 72 Dolphins Super Bowl win. He had played that whole season because Bob Greasy's leg had gotten broken. And then Bob Greasy made it back for the playoffs and they relegated him back to the bench.
Y'all done checked out, has anybody checked out the first two episodes of the Dynasty?
No, not yet.
Hey.
But speak.
Man, speaking from what I done seen. Woo, boy. Belichick is a big butthole.
And it took a documentary to see that?
I mean, I just seen the first two episodes. It was just like, because, remember, it take me back to our first interview. From watching this, it take me back to our first interview when dude said, like, Belichick knew that he had his quarterback. I think that was kind of a... But I ain't gonna say it on air.
Okay. Well,